You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I spoke earlier today with lecturer John Johansson from the Victoria University Politics and International Relations Department, and I started off by asking him, where did National fall short in their coalition negotiations, and where was Labor able to capitalise in that space?
Well, I think the key part of Winston's, you know, sort of announcement speech yesterday was that modified status quo versus change line he had right at the end of the speech, just before he introduced his preferred choice. And I think that what National was unable to persuade Winston of was of addressing those things that mattered most to him, the policy domains that mattered most to him, change them, you know, be willing to change them enough to really satisfy Winston's idea of change. And so I think also that, you know, you could argue that National strategy has been curious for a long time, that for at least a year it's been pretty obvious that the most likely government coalition that was going to emerge out of the 17 election was National and New Zealand First. And then you just look at the behaviour of the National Party, knowing that they had a year to work on Winston's good graces, and instead you have a campaign that talks about cutting out the middleman, and several government ministers implicated in a privacy breach against Winston Peters. So I think on, you know, there was real trust issues, just too much scar tissue between Winston and the National Party, and on the policy front, Labor more willing to address those, you know, address change, basically, you know, things like homelessness. He obviously felt that that could happen and be addressed under a centre-left driven government rather than a NAT one.
Do you think when Winston talks about this idea of readdressing how capitalism works within New Zealand, it needs to be more caring, there needs to be more responsibility, do you think we're in line for any dramatic shifts in our economic system and the way things operate? I mean, is this going to be like the 84 government and completely turn things on their head, or is it going to be a more gradual shift?
No, because I don't think the conditions lend themselves to the type of structural change that happened in 84. And, you know, like, so on one level, we have got a very interesting change dynamic in so much as for the first time since 1984, we've got generational renewal in the National leadership through Jacinda being Prime Minister-elect. So on that sense, there is a real sea change, and that is really the outstanding, you know, aspect of this change. But, you know, the actual situational milieu is very different from 1984. There is more stability about the economic environment than what the fourth Labor government faced in 84. So I wouldn't imagine that type of dramatic break. And, you know, so you look at the major planks of that neoliberal order, which ones are being suggested are going to be disturbed? Well, it's really the Reserve Bank Act, right, where I think there seems to be an agreement there about adding employment to the Reserve Bank's purview of interest rates. But other than that, you're not hearing about a fundamental, complete reconstruction of the New Zealand economy.
I wanted to bring up, I'll shift to the Greens here, actually, and I wanted to see if you thought, are the Greens winners in this? I mean, they've never been part of a government before, and they are stepping in to help form this government, but they've been left out of cabinet, and Winston's rhetoric, at least in his speech last night, seems very directed towards Labor and almost intentionally exclusive of the Greens. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, that exclusion will collapse as soon as the first piece of legislation and the first and they have to defend themselves against a vote of no confidence in the House, because they are, the three of them are in it together, albeit with different you know, relationships. That said, if you consider where the Greens were 12 weeks ago, or even in the election campaign, where there was a threat there that they weren't even going to get over the threshold, this has to be seen as a win. I know some of those former Green MPs who would have loved to be in the position of the three Green MPs who are going to be cabinet ministers, ministers outside of cabinet. So, you know, that has to be seen as a win. And, of course, they are also well poised for 2020 if this government can make that relationship work. And being outside the formal arrangement of the minority coalition between Labor and New Zealand First, that also gives them just a little bit of positioning space. So I think all up, it's never going to be the optimal thing for the Greens, but it's not too bad.
It's better than the alternative, I suppose, being in the room.
Or not even being in Parliament, which is what they were facing not that long ago.
So looking forward to 2020, there's a couple of questions on my mind. Firstly, Jacinda has this huge huge emphasis as the leader. She's got a real pull, and often that leader plays a large component in keeping the caucus together and keeping things moving forward. But Winston is a huge personality there as well, and this is the first time we've had a coalition government under MMP where the largest party has not been in that government. Are they going to be successful in holding together over that 3-year stretch, even when there's a 44% national opposition bloc fighting them at every turn?
It is definitely challenging. I mean, one way of looking at it is that they have no choice here. The energy is on the side of the centre left, which is one of the things that Winston picked up, and the great potential that exists here between Jacinda Ardern and Winston Peters is really they could replicate, if they are able, the sort of easy relationship and the type of complementary relationship that, say, like an Obama and a Joe Biden had. You know, Winston's been around a long time. There's a lot of experience to share. And if they can sort of, fit into that sort of role, or even, if you look at some of the other relationships in US history between a president and a more experienced vice president, there is a lot of virtue in that. That said, the united and large national opposition is going to cause a lot of complexity around the passage of legislation, because National, with those numbers, are going to be able to wreak quite a bit of havoc in select committees. So they're going to have to, the new government is going to have to be incredibly disciplined and focused in how it, gets its own legislative program through Parliament.
I suppose the last question I wanted to ask is, looking at that national bloc, that 44%, it's a strange situation to be in where National has lost, but they have quite obviously won in terms of voter percentage. So when we see, take for example, the 2008 election, we ended up having a reshuffle of the Labour Party, and same with the 99 election, we had a reshuffle of the National Party. Are we going to see a large change in who constitutes the National Party currently in that inner circle? Are they still going to be here in 2020?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you're Bill English, you probably don't hang around. They will certainly be united in their, shock, grief, anger, and as the party goes through all those phases of being taken out of office. But they're also well and truly due for... in fact, Jacinda has sort of forced upon the National Party now also the challenge of generational renewal of its leadership. And, this is one of the spectacular aspects of the political regeneration of what we're actually experiencing right now, however bumpy it might be, is that National, the younger members of the National Caucus, the ambitious ones amongst those who see themselves as leaders, they are now going to have the opportunity of stepping forward and taking over the leadership. And so, for the first time since 1984, we've actually, burst through that sort of invisible membrane in time again that separates one era from another. And I think that's actually one of the richest and most optimistic aspects of this change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.